when we get upset when people project onto us, it's only because as a child, we were the problem for everything. Mom is stressed out, dad's not making enough money, the kids are too loud, everything is the child's fault. And when you are the child of that scenario, the saddest, most fucked up part about that is that you don't stop loving your parents, you stop loving yourself.
Welcome to the Unbaked Podcast. We're your hosts, Caitlin.
And I'm Sarah.
In this podcast, two best friends get together to share our own recipes of life, having relationships, and everything in between.
Join us while we share with you our take of the definition of unbaked. Hello, everybody.
Hey, guys. What's going on? I feel like we should have like a different intro, but every time Sarah and I are looking at each other like, hey guys,
yes,
how's it going?
That's exactly
like,
how it works.
Like, it's just our kind of like buffer to get into the first episode. We're like, hey, like,
yeah,
how's it going? Like, it's so funny that we're not used to that exact part yet.
Yeah,
but welcome everyone, welcome to episode 11. I can't believe we've done 11 episodes. Like, that's just nuts to me.
I know, it's insane. We're already, like, we started right at the beginning of the year, too, so it's kind of cool to see us going through the months.
Yeah, we're going to be doing seasons at this point.
Yeah.
But anyways, we have a special guest today, and we are so excited for you to listen to this podcast. She is so amazing. Her name is Emily Clark. She's a spiritual guide and anxiety coach. The reason she's so passionate about helping people heal their anxiety is because she used to suffer from it, too. Her anxiety used to be a 9.5 out of 10, and now it's a 0.000001 out of 10. And it's crazy how much tools and tips and tricks that she has in this podcast to kind of help people with their everyday anxiety. So we're very, very pumped for you guys to listen to this episode.
Yes, we cannot wait. So without further ado, here's Emily, and we're just going to jump right into it and ask some questions.
All right. So, hello, Emily. Welcome.
Guys, thank you. I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this all day.
We're so excited to have you here. So, yeah, let's just take it away.
So, the first question would be to kind of tell us a bit about yourself. It's a two-part question. So, tell us a bit about yourself and what inspired you to become an anxiety coach.
Yeah. Okay. So, I am a human on planet Earth currently, which is a fucking wild experience. And when I was kind of like 26, 27, I experienced anxiety for the first time. And I was like, what is happening? And I remember being happy. And I remember like trying all these things online and going to therapy. And I was just like, oh my God, like, where did my happiness go? I don't understand. I'm like frantic all the time. I can't nap anymore. Like, I'm always on the go. Do. I had like a to-do list as long as my arm all the time, and I had to get it done. I just was experiencing anxiety. And since, you know, oh, this is almost 10 years ago, people didn't talk about it that much. I actually didn't know what was going on. I just assumed that this was being an adult, and I just like wasn't handling it well. And like, mental health was never talked about in my family. Feelings were never talked about in my family. And so I really was like, oh my God, like I'm going crazy maybe. Like, oh, I'm going to be thrown in the nut house. Like, holy shit. And so, like I said, I tried a whole bunch of things online. I tried everything that I could find, meditation, journaling, yoga, like anything I could do. And then I decided to go to therapy. And I remember the day so clearly. It was a day that I was doing like a blog collaboration with 7-Eleven, and I was getting the Slurpees, and it was just a regular anxious day for me, you know? I had to go to 7-Eleven, get these perfect Slurpees, make them look perfect. I was going to take pictures by the pool, like the whole thing. And I remember as I was like pulling the lever for the Slurpee, as you do, it was almost like as the Slurpee was filling, I felt like all the blood from my head was like leaving my body. And I was like, oh my God, I think I'm going to faint. And I was like, okay, I have to get help. Like, today is the day where I cannot hide this any longer. Like, I have to get help. And so I did what most people did. I just found a therapist. And for a while, she was really great. She just kind of helped me feel like I wasn't alone and there was nothing really wrong with me. But a couple of sessions in, I just started to feel really, like, codependent. I was like, okay, so, like, I'm a little bit less anxious, so that's good. But this also isn't what I want. Like, I don't want to have to book an appointment with my therapist every time I feel anxious. Like, I want this shit gone. I don't want to experience this anymore. And that was a really scary moment when I was like, oh, so therapy didn't work. Now what? And I was the least spiritual person. I was actually raised not to believe in religion. And I was like, well, I guess spirituality is my last hope. Like, I got nothing left to lose. And so I read a book by Debbie Ford, and it was called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. And in the book, it says, it will not leave you until you love it. And I was like, how am I going to love my anxiety? Like, I hate this thing. It's wrecked my life. Like, no way. Like, I don't want more of it. I just want it to go away. Anyways, as I kept reading more about shadow work and continued reading on with spiritual books, I was like, oh, okay, now I'm starting to get it. And so I literally started to apply what I thought was right. I didn't know what I was doing, had no idea what I was doing. I was basically my first guinea pig, and it started to work. I started to actually welcome anxiety into my life, and I decided that anytime it showed up in my life, it was for a lesson. Like, it was trying to teach me something in that moment. And because I had that shift in perception, that's what allowed the healing to happen. And so, yeah, anytime my anxiety came up, I was like, okay, pause, whoa, this is just, coming up to teach me something. What is this trying to teach me right now? And it always came back to me being enough. Like, am I enough? Am I enough if I don't look perfect? Am I enough if my to-do list isn't done? Am I enough? Like, everything was, am I enough? It was always like I was constantly proving myself. And so, yeah, I basically just had to learn that I was enough, not care what other people thought, stop people pleasing, give myself permission to feel my feelings, not need to be perfect to receive love. And I was like, oh my God, this is working. And so I just created a program out of it, and have been working with people for 4.5 years on it. So that's how I got into being an anxiety coach.
That's so awesome. I love that. I'd like to mention through this story that you're just telling me about is that even though you did have such bad anxiety, you pushed through it like kind of on your own. Like, you were self-aware enough to be like, hey, therapy is not really for me. What can I do next? And you were still motivated even though you had that anxiety. Like, that's awesome.
Thank you. I can receive your love. I am a manifester in human design. So quite naturally, I'm my own leader, and it's very difficult for me to be like, it's difficult for people to help me. And my husband would tell you that. He'd be like, fuck, this is the worst thing trying to help you. Because I just won't have it, which is something that I can work on, and I do. But I really believe that this is what I'm here for. So quite, like, obviously, that's my story. Obviously, nothing worked for me, so I had to go out and create my own. And yeah, I think it's really cool, too. I like telling that story.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
super, super empowering. I love that so much. So actually, this kind of question that I'm going to ask you was going to be my last question, but I decided to ask it because you kind of mentioned it. So what advice do you have for people who are struggling with anxiety
but have not sought out help?
Well, first thing I would say is like, oh man, you have so much to look forward to. Like, if you have not received help yet, you're kind of at the bottom, and there's only up from there, really. And so, like, give yourself permission to be excited, give yourself permission to have hope, give yourself permission to look forward to the future, because right now you don't know very much. And once you start to learn tools and get help, you're going to feel so much more empowered. You're going to feel more confident. You're going to feel like you can trust yourself. And your nervous system is going to calm down. And that allows for so many more beautiful things in your life to happen. So if you haven't sought out help yet, I'm excited for you because it's about to get good.
Yeah. And I guess that the form of help could be
an anxiety coach, a therapist, a counselor, you name it, like whoever best suits you. Personally, though, for me,
I feel like it's a very like inviting environment to like find a coach like yourself and to be able to, I feel like it's a different level of understanding because you've gone through it as well. And it's personal. Something that, yeah, it is more personal.
Absolutely. Such a magical touch. And look, there are, just because it didn't work for me doesn't mean it won't work for you. And having your own discernment is really powerful. And obviously I had to go through things that didn't work for me to figure out what did. Like, that's my story and that's okay, but that's maybe not anyone else's story on the planet. And so having that discernment around what kind of support you want and what actually works for you, that is the most important, that you find something that gives you that relief. You find something that gives you that, like, okay, like, I'm going to be okay. And so whether that is through a doctor or medication or coaching or community healing, whatever, the most important thing is that you learn to feel good in your own way. And I used to have a huge chip on my shoulder around therapy, because obviously that was a wound for me. But I've worked with over 100 women over the planet, all over the world. And I have done a lot of healing around that. Like, I'm not angry about it anymore. I'm not bitter about it. I'm not salty. And so that's quite relieving for me to be able to sit here today and be like, however it works, man, like, you just got to do you. At the end of the day, a happy you is better for the planet. And so however that looks for you, find something that works for you. And I will say, it takes courage to try something and for it to not work and for you to keep going and for you to keep looking for something. You know, I have a membership, and 80% of the people that I work with have tried traditional talk therapy and not getting the results that they wanted. That's no shade. That's just the way it goes. And one of the biggest reasons they do like to work with me is because I know how they feel. I'm nodding my head as they talk because I'm like, fuck, I remember those days. I remember that. I do. And it takes me right back there when someone tells me that they're like, I think I'm going crazy. And I'm like, just so you know, crazy people don't know they're going crazy. Like, they think they're not. So, like, fun fact. just find what works for you. You don't need my permission, but I'm giving you permission to try a whole bunch of different things. And eventually, when you find your thing, you're going to be so grateful that you didn't stop when one thing didn't work. You kept going.
Yeah, yeah, I really like that, because it kind of is like, you can't give up if one thing doesn't work, right? Try other ways. There is so many different, nothing is a one, what is the term? One size fits all kind of thing,
right? Like, or one size fits all.
Like, you know, it's, we have to try things because it's not meant for everybody. But I think that I would like personally do better with a coach like yourself versus like, you know, the doctor, the typical going in. And I don't know, I feel like I would be able to relate to you better. And I just like, I like going off of like people's energy too, right?
Same, absolutely.
So, yeah.
And then there's me. I've been through literally every single option I think I've ever thought of. Like, I have been through counseling in high school. I have been through, like, you know, therapy my whole life pretty much. And then that just didn't work for me. I was in a specific type of therapy last year, and it just felt like a chore, you know, like, it wasn't like, wow, this is really making me feel better. I love the person who I was seeing all the time. She was amazing, but I didn't even look forward to it because I was like, oh, it's just like, do I really have to do this because it didn't benefit me, right? So then I found that I was kind of stumped, and I've been on medication for the last year, and it's helped. I was the last person that would want to take medication, but it's okay if you do, because it's helped me a lot.
Again, at the end of the day, a happy you is the best thing for the planet. And so I'm so happy that you found something that takes the edge off. Like, shit, like, that's all we're just, every human being is just looking for relief. That's all we're looking for. We just want relief. And so I'm happy that you tried a whole bunch of things and have found something. Like, fuck, sister, that's awesome. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks.
So another question that we wanted to ask you was to kind of tell us a bit about your love versus fear method.
Absolutely. Oh, where do we start? Okay. So like I mentioned, it was really that huge shift in perception from, am I going to suffer from this or can I learn from it? Right. Coming back to the idea of like, it will not leave you until you love it. You kind of have to like force yourself to be creative and be like, well, how am I going to do that? And so, yeah, having that shift in perception, we call it choose again. I didn't make that up, but there's a perception that I teach that worked so well for me. Obviously, it was the only reason that I healed my anxiety, was because I decided, instead of suffering from anxiety, I decided to learn from it. And what that looks like is, when you feel anxious, you choose again right there. You don't go down the rabbit hole and the spiral of like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? I hate myself. This isn't getting better. What the hell? You don't do that. You go, okay, this is only here to teach me a lesson. This is not a bad thing. I'm just going to lean on my tools. So having that shift in perception from fear, which is judgment, and this is bad, and I'm wrong, and what the hell is wrong with me, to love that's curious and just like, okay, cool. Like, I trust this. I trust I'm going to be okay. Let me look into this from like a loving perspective. Why am I feeling anxious right now? And so what I teach is, like, the very first training is my, you know, how to identify what I'm actually suffering from in the moment. And it can either come down to two main fears, either I'm not enough or I'm not safe. And so let's take driving, for example. Okay, say you're like, ooh, I'm going to drive on the highway alone for like 3 hours, and then your anxiety hits. In that moment, what I teach is like, okay, let's not suffer. Let's not spiral. Let's get curious. Let's use this to our advantage. Let's use this to heal. And so I do the why method. Really, you go, okay, why does driving alone on the highway for 3 hours trigger anxiety? Well, because it's really scary. Okay, why does it trigger your fear? Oh, well, because what if I'm going too fast and I crash? Okay, why does that scare you? Well, because I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to be okay. In that moment, it actually is coming down to you either feeling like you're not enough or you're not safe. So it actually has nothing to do with the trigger. It just has to do with you not feeling safe in that moment. And for me, my anxiety always came down to me not feeling like I was enough. So in that moment, it really dispels a lot of shame, a lot of judgment. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just in this moment, you're not feeling safe. That's it. Okay, we can learn to feel safe. We can learn to cultivate that feeling within ourselves. So that's one of the first things that I teach inside of my programs is like this choose again method, this feeling the fear and then choosing love and healing it and welcoming it back onto your island, essentially, instead of like being mean to yourself and thinking there's something wrong. That is where a ton of healing happens. And then from there, we basically go on to really strengthening that foundation of I am enough or I am safe. And so I have a couple of steps along the way that I teach with that. But yeah, basically that's what I did for myself. And when it worked for me, I was like, shit, selling my house, quitting my job, broke up with the dude I was dating because he didn't want me to own my own business. And I was like, peace, I'm fucking doing this.
Peace out.
Yeah, honestly. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. That's really good. Do you want to read a couple questions?
Yeah. So I was just going to bring up the podcast that I was listening to this morning. I thought it was amazing because you were talking about, I don't remember which episode it was because I've listened to a few of yours. But you were saying something about how anxiety comes from caring about what people think about you, I believe. And then you're like, if I want to wear crop tops, I'm going to wear crop tops. You're like, crop tops are the best invention ever because it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. And then you referenced it to like a grandma having colorful hair. And you're just like, why would you care? Because it's just them. It's not you.
Absolutely. That was one of the biggest things. And I'm looking at my crop tops right now because they are such a trophy for me. I just always remember growing up being told like, oh, well, you can't wear that. Like, you shouldn't really wear that, Emily. And a lot of fear was projected onto me and my body. And essentially I was told that I wasn't enough. Like I didn't look a certain way. I didn't look like the person who was supposed to be in quotations, crop tops. And as I got older and a lot more into my healing, like I'm 35 and I only started wearing crop tops like last summer. And it has been such a freeing experience because I don't care what anyone thinks of me. If you don't like my hourglass figure or that I'm like a size large, extra large, literally none of my fucking business. And if you are going to try to project that shit onto me, it says more about you than it does me. And it comes from an extreme amount of self-love and self-acceptance. And I really want that old narrative that like you can't wear whatever you want because you don't look the part to die with me. Like that dies with me and my family. My children will never experience that. And it's really cool when you can embody a belief so much that other people around you feel it. Like I hope other people around me feel like they can wear whatever they want, dye their hair whatever color they want, because again, like I've said multiple times, a happy you is the best thing for the planet. And ultimately, like, if you don't like it, again, that says more about you than it does me. And I'm like rock solid over here. So have a nice day.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. And then another thing I was thinking about, actually, since it happened to me at work today, I try to be as self-aware as I can. And that's like something I've worked on for the last few years. And since I have anxiety, sometimes I have to stop and be like, okay, why am I feeling like this? And when you say that, when you're feeling anxious, most of the time it's a lesson that means so much more and makes so much more sense to me. Because for an example, I got yelled at twice today for something that literally wasn't even my problem. It was people just projecting. But then I felt myself getting super anxious and like annoyed and frustrated because my anxiety, I switched to immediate anger. And I like had to stop and think, I'm like, hey, why am I feeling and taking on so much of this emotion when it was literally just someone just projecting their life onto me? Like, this has nothing to do with me. And it's great that you said that, that when you're feeling that way, like take it as like a lesson or like thinking about it, right? So then I had to be like, okay, this isn't about me. Like, I gotta not stop, like, I have to stop thinking about it because, you know, what was my fault? Like, I did as much as I could, right? Like, but it's hard. It's hard for people who aren't self-aware because most of the time people, like you said, just spiral down and just let it get to them.
I love this conversation so much. First of all, I'm so sorry that people projected their unhealed garbage onto you. Like, absolutely unacceptable moving forward in 2023. Absolutely not. And I am the biggest, like, absolutely not kind of person around that. What I found in those scenarios, because I'm the exact same, I will go to anger immediately. And what I learned is that that actually comes from a deep part of us feeling hurt. And when the feminine energy is hurt, she gets angry to protect herself. So, like, completely normal, by the way. Like, you're totally spot on. There's nothing wrong with you. That's just a human really protecting themselves. When someone projects, we protect. That's the way it goes. Holy shit, I just thought of that. Okay.
that should be a slogan.
Yes. Oh, my God. Totally. No. And what I found in my healing is I used to really take on people's projections as well. And when we're children, especially now, like if we think about like my parents are like 65 and like almost 80, like they didn't know this stuff back when they were growing up. And this is really when we tap into generational trauma. And so if I'm raised by two parents who don't believe that they're enough because their parents didn't believe that they were enough because their parents were told they weren't enough in various different ways, of course, I'm going to inherit that wound of I am not enough. And that becomes a core belief for me. So as a child, you're perfect. You're absolutely perfect. You're born knowing you're enough and you're lovable and you're safe. But at some point, someone tells you or shows you that you're not. And because our little tiny brains are not able to cognize things like adult brains are, we actually think it's true. So when we get yelled at by our parents, we think that there's something wrong with us. It's like pure survival mode at that point. And it's like such unconscious beliefs are like deeply embedded into your brain, into your being at that point in your life. And so when we get upset, when people project onto us, it's only because as a child, we were the problem for everything. Mom is stressed out. Dad's not making enough money. The kids are too loud. Everything is the child's fault. And when you are the child of that scenario, the saddest, most fucked up part about that is that you don't stop loving your parents. You stop loving yourself. And so you can imagine all of us adults are walking around with these unhealed wounds of like, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve love. It makes me uncomfortable to receive unconditional love from someone. And like, that can be healed. And I've done it. And like, I have goosebumps talking about it because it really fucking matters. And what's so beautiful about that is when you do that work, it stops with you. Your children never know conditional love. They never know like that mom and dad are upset and it's your fault. Like they never know that. And that's why I'm so passionate about doing this work. I empathize with you because I know how that feels. And
yeah, that just
so much love.
All of my buttons, like in a good way and like kind of like a sad way because like it is sad, but like that is so me. It's crazy. Like when you're like, oh, like you don't know how to receive love from people, I'm so anti like compassion. Like when I was just talking with Sarah before our podcast started, her mom is like so loving, like contacts her all the time, like just full, like in her life, like a lot, like in a good way, like
cheerleader, right? Yeah,
but to me that's just like ugh. Like, it scares me. And I'm like, I could never have that. Like, I hate to say it, but like, I hate it when like parents are like overbearing with their children. Like it just, there's obviously a line, obviously. And I know that line, but still even seeing people with their parents, like get along with them so well or see them all the time or have these great relationships. It like makes me physically ill because I'm like, I don't know what that's like. Like my mom and I have had some like rough times in our lives, but we're not like that. You know what I mean? Like, we're more like sisters than anything. So it's not like that, like, oh, like, I love my mom. It's like, yeah, like, if you want to wear my top, you can. Like, you know? So it's like, yeah, it's crazy that you said that. Cause yeah, I am so that love just that, like, I love, which is sad. But then when I see someone like with family, for instance,
you
can't, like,
compute. Like, it's like, yeah.
It just grows.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to your reality because that's not what you experienced. So obviously your cognitive brain goes, what? That's not right. Whoa. What am I even like? That's not real. And that's what our brain can do sometimes. And I resonate because, like, from the outside looking in, my childhood looked amazing, but obviously I grew up to wake up to all of these wounds that my family had passed down to me. Again, totally unknown. They had no idea what they were doing. They always have the best intention, but, like, that's just what generational trauma is. And one of the most beautiful healing experience I've had is with my husband. I tried to break up with him so many times. Like, the dude is like my dream guy. He's like so perfect for me. He's so hot. He's so nice. He's so caring. He's so thoughtful. Like, if I could write him down on paper, he's like absolutely perfect. And then he shows up in my life and I just tried to break up with him so many times. I, like, we met on Plenty of Fish and I would say to him, like, he's a ripped six pack, like, fucking stunning. And I would say to him, like, so I don't have a six pack. I need to let you know that. Like, I'm not hiding anything under here. Like, no surprises, you know, like, I'm a full figured woman. Like, I'm curvy. And I just had this belief that, like, only someone like him would want to date someone who looked like him. And literally for weeks, he had to break me down. He'd be like, what are you doing? He's like, stop. He's like, what are you doing? Like, don't do that. Like, I want to be with you. I love you. Like, I love your body. And it was so difficult for me to accept that because I had never, ever received that kind of unconditional love in my life. And to this date, he is one of my best healers in my life. Like, absolutely. And I'm just so excited to have kids one day so that we can, like, pass on this, like, good vibes, this good love. But it's always been, until him, I would always run when shit got hard or when, you know, like, yeah, he'd be like, oh my God, you're so hot. And I'd be like, like, so uncomfortable. I need another drink.
I was telling Sarah, cause I listened to a couple of your podcasts. I was like, this girl and I, Emily and I, are so similar. I was like, her and I are so much alike. And now it's just proving my point.
I was literally just going to say that. I'm like, just going to be like, you guys are twins.
Like, that is literally me. Like, I am dating someone who's tall and skinny, and like, I am also like mid-size, and I'm like, okay, like, he's just so confident. He's just like, yeah, I don't care what I wear. Meanwhile, I'm just like, oh, if it doesn't fit right, like, I'm freaking out. And he's just like, I just love your body. Like, why are you, and you just think in your head all the time. I'm like, well, since you're skinny, like, why do you like someone who isn't? And I, yeah, that's crazy. I went through the exact same thing
because we've been conditioned that for so long. And I love that for you, and I'm so happy for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like, this is a lesson in your lifetime to love yourself unconditionally. And like, romantic relationships are spiritual hotbeds. Like, woo! You can do like 10 years of work in like a year because they're just so potent that way. And like, bless. Like, I love that for you. And I'm so happy because I know what you're walking into. And once you get to the other side, oh, bitch, it is heaven. It is heaven to feel like you are walking on water. Like, he worships the ground you walk on. Like, you could do no wrong. Not from a wounded perspective, but like, I've done my work. I love myself. I accept myself. I am a fucking blessing. Like, it is so good once you get to the other side.
And that's where I want to be. Like, I feel like with all of my like trauma and my pain in my past, I am more of like an angry, like, not defensive to be like, not completely defensive, but like, I'm like, I am like high and mighty. Like, I know my worth, blah, blah, blah. But I want to be at the point where I'm like, I just love myself. Like, you know, like, you're just explaining, like, I'm here. Like, it is what it is. Like, I love myself and everything's good. Like, it's more of like a, this is coming from me in the middle of my healing where I'm still kind of angry, but I'm still trying to be like self-aware and better myself. So I want to be there one day.
Yeah, your awareness is amazing. Absolutely beautiful, sister. I love that. And I identify with that phase as well, because I went through that phase where I was like, I'm fucking hot. Fuck everybody else. Like, I love myself. If you don't like it, don't fucking look like, But that comes from a very hard place. That comes from, yeah, the word you use, defensive. And I would also go a step further and say very masculine. And the soft version that I described where I landed was, like I described, just like, I love myself. I'm here to enjoy myself. If you don't like me, that says more about you than it does me. And I'm not gonna like take on your projections. Like, be happy. Do you? Like, peace, love, man. I'm having so much fun. This is fucking great.
I know. We should do this more often.
Yeah.
I know. I agree.
So I'm asking this question, almost seeking advice from a person where they're a little bit more, well, you don't have anxiety, you're fine. Like, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. So how can we create a more supportive environment for those dealing with anxiety? And kind of in the perspective of like someone who's not really accepting the fact that maybe my daughter, my son, my neighbor, whoever you're around has anxiety, like how can they help? How can we all help create a better environment for those kind of people?
Such a good question. Full body goosebumps as you ask that, because that is such a conscious, loving, heart-centered question, and I'm so grateful. I love it. I have actually recorded a podcast that is literally for that person. And the way that I formulated it was like, hey, welcome to the podcast, blah, 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 I'm Emily, blah, blah, blah. Anyways. And then I was like, okay, so the person who's suffering from anxiety, you, okay, pass your phone over to the person who doesn't understand, who doesn't believe. Maybe it's your boss, your partner, your dad, whatever. Your sister-in-law, whatever, just pass the phone to them. I'm going to talk to them now. And it had to be done. I was getting so many questions about it. Like, what do you do if like your boyfriend doesn't understand your anxiety? Or what do you do if your boss doesn't think it's real? And I was like, bitch, let me show you. So it's first, I always like to understand where that perspective comes from. The tough upper lip, feelings don't matter, just get over it. The just don't worry about it. Like, bitch, if it was that easy, don't you think I would have tried that already? Like, and so what I find is that that comment usually comes from someone who has not done a lot of healing. That question comes from somebody who themselves, their feelings would have been stifled as a child. And so they've just grown up with this tough exterior, like tough upper lip, like, fuck it, whatever, just white knuckle through it. And that person hurts even if they don't show it. They have coping mechanisms like smoking or drinking or doing drugs or too much shopping or watching Netflix all night, which don't get me long, like wrong. I love Netflix, but there is a difference between numbing and enjoying yourself like consciously. And so I have so much sympathy for that person because underneath it all, they are so in pain. They hurt so much. Even if they're not aware of it. And that can be the thing when we don't consciously like check in with our healing and our pain and our sadness, is that we can develop this really like high functioning busyness. Really, you're just busying yourself all the time. And so when we look at it that way, first, major empathy for that person, because their body must be exhausted and they aren't actually enjoying the human experience. They think they are when they go to the bar. They think they are when they're going to the movies, but they're not actually. Once you actually feel true happiness, that other shit just drifts away because you're like, that, well, that's not the real thing. I don't want that. And so I always approach it from a place of sympathy and empathy. Like, holy shit, that's a tough road. That's a tough road. And a lot of people pre-World War II can get really stuck in that. Like, my dad's going to be 80. He can get really stuck in that. Just like really unaware of how unhappy they are. And even to a degree with the cell phones and technology and stuff like that, not that technology and advancement is bad, but like our phones are definitely a fucking problem. And so I always approach it from empathy. If someone thinks like, oh, well, anxiety isn't real. First of all, bro, if you ain't been to hell, how do you know what it's like? And second of all, I know that someone who says that, I'm not going to say I know because we never know for sure. Usually through the conversations that I've had up to this date, when I speak to people like that, they don't even know feelings. Like, they don't even give themselves permission to feel it. And so I approach that from empathy. Like, Look, it's understandable. If you don't know what this feels like, if you've never like gotten to this point, first of all, like, I'm so happy for you because like you don't need to be here in this energy. But also, is it possible that somebody else has a different human experience than you? There are 8 billion of us. It, like, every single one of us has a different human experience. And the way that it's uniquely different is how you were raised. We were all raised in a different environment, and that gives us a different outcome. There's a reason why, you know, your mom is so nice. There's a reason why you feel comfortable in that unconditional love. And then there's a reason why you and I are like, I'm feeling something. Something's going down. And my body is going, like, and it's unique to how we were raised. That's it. And so it's leading from a place of compassion. It's leading from a place of empathy, embodying the energy that you wish to give somebody else so that they can feel that softness, right? Coming back to that softness and go, oh, okay. So I guess, okay. Oh, well, shit, I'm really sorry. Like, what can I do to help? That would be the ideal scenario. So I think that that's what would create a more empathetic environment for people who are, you know, trying to just get through anxiety and depression, anything, grief, like Jesus, like those lower emotions, we were never taught how to feel. And so that's why I love talking about this so much. It's like, I want to dispel the shame and the judgment. Like, a human emotion is just a vibration. And what's so cool about our human bodies is we can actually take that lower vibration and turn it into something higher, like love, compassion, joy. And so, yeah, I think that answers that question.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. No. Her dog is making like yoga poses.
She just decided to choose the worst timing for that.
But was it like third eye to the sky, like bum right up to the air? That's what my dogs do all the time.
Her dog.
Yeah. What kind of dog do you have? Oh my god, are you some kind of German Shepherd something?
Yeah, she's a German Shepherd. She's just long haired.
She's beautiful. Oh, I love that breed so much.
A little turkey.
She is. She's got not much between her eyes, but
she's got not much up here.
But she's. She means well.
Yeah, she means well. Oh, she just needs some attention right now.
Yeah, like, she's doing the yoga.
She's feeling the love. She's like, let me get in that energy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dogs, fun fact, dogs are pure positive energy. They don't have an ego. They don't understand negativity. They're just like, I'm here for my humans.
They are. Like, the most genuine souls that we, you know, they're just incredible.
And fun fact, animals will always try to, if you have an animal in a lifetime, they will always, like, when they pass, they will always try to come back and find you again. So it's likely that you would have the same soul as a dog more than once.
Oh,
which is so crazy, because Sarah, she has this little light up doggy rock that's on her window, and it's for her dog that passed. And randomly, it doesn't light up with, like, daylight or, like, dark or anything.
It's supposed to, but it doesn't.
So it'll just, like, we'll be talking about my dog, which is a golden retriever, which is what she had, and it will just randomly light up. And so we kind of associate that with kind of,
we're like, Abby's here.
Yeah.
100%. I think you're correct. That's how I look at it too. Our pit bull Lab passed away last year, which was absolutely devastating. I've never known grief before. Holy shit. And I did a lot of research on animals and their soul and the energy. And I'm a huge fan of Abraham Hicks, like, oh, ride or die. And when Maddie passed away, I was looking at, like, well, what happens? Like, do the other animals in the house suffer? Like, where do they go to heaven? Like, what am, you know? And the way that Abraham Hicks described it is, like, just like you, animals are eternal energy. They never die. And so just because you don't have them in the physical realm, they are still there in the energetic realm. And so, very much to healing, like healing my anxiety, I decided that anytime I got sad about Maddie passing, I would be like, oh, I'm thinking of her right now. She like randomly popped into my head. That means that she's around me. And so I can rejoice in that. And I was literally having this conversation with one of my students today because one of her cats is maybe going to pass away. And I just decided that anytime I think about Maddie or whatever, like, I'm like, oh, she's here. And instead of feeling grief and sadness, which I usually do for the first 5 seconds, then I'm like, this is just me creating a brand new relationship with you. I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to try. Me. And so, yeah, anytime she shows up, I'm like, oh, you're here. Okay, I can feel good because I remember what it felt like when you were here. So I'm just going to sink into that energy.
Oh, that's so sweet. No, I really love that. And I think on the topic of anxiety, is their purpose is to like give us that peace and joy and love and like eternal love. You know, and I really do think that, like, I hear Bella's just being so goofy right now.
Bella's just so funny, but then she just starts licking the box that the computer's on. Like, she's like, I'm here to love you, but, like, I'm gonna
make you laugh in the meantime, which is great.
And that's probably what she's really good at doing, right? You said she probably makes you guys laugh a lot.
She does. She is super silly. Yeah. And, like, I have a golden retriever, and she's a little... like actually much older than Bella. I think she's like 7 or 8 now. And she always does these little like howls and stuff, and it just makes everyone laugh. And I'm like, I just freaking love dogs. Like they are truly a gift
to this world.
They are, absolutely. And like God knew.
Yeah.
God knew we'd need dogs. Oh yeah. Like he knew.
But yeah, Nova helped me through my whole anxiety phase through like the end of my high school years when I got her. And man, she was just there for me all the time. And it's crazy how much they know.
They do. They sense it. Like we'll be watching a show and Bella will hear like a baby cry or somebody cry, and she will look at the TV and be like with like the most concern, and like it's crazy. It's so crazy to me how like in tune with that they are.
Because they're so energetic, right? Like we forget how energetic we are. And anytime we slip into fear, any of those lower vibrational emotions, the dogs pick up on it because it's totally different than their home frequency. They're like, ding, positive all the time, no matter what. And so when they are confronted with fear, they're like, whoa, what is this? And so that's why it's also so good to have dogs around, because they can help you correct. Even if you aren't aware that you're feeling anxious, they can be like, something's up. And you're like, ooh, thanks for letting me know. All right, let me lean on my tools or whatever.
Yeah, and I think that's like super... Bella's just like, she's stealing the show right now. She just is chasing her tail and like distracting us completely.
Honestly, this happens when animals and I get together. It doesn't matter. They feel the energy. And I think it's because my energy's buck wild that they're like, oh, sick, let's go.
Like she'll like get up and move when we do a recording, but she's never been like
this hyper
this much. So she definitely can tell. She knows. That's awesome.
We have a couple more.
Yeah, we got a couple more questions. I'm trying to think. So here's one. I love how you speak. Like you're just so well spoken, and you just, I love you.
Thank you. I can receive your love. I love you too. I'm having the best time ever. I was a radio announcer for 10 years, so that probably helps.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so Caitlin's always wanted to be a radio announcer.
This is so crazy.
You are literally my future. Oh, what? Oh,
you are me. That's amazing. In 10 years.
That's so amazing.
It's good, girl. It is so good.
So what are some tips for things that we can do like right now if someone's going through anxiety in that moment? Like what is like a
good strategy,
first response kind of thing?
Really quickly.
Yeah,
absolutely. So first response is always coming in to take care of yourself. We have this nasty habit where we like to abandon ourselves when things get hard. Terrible idea if you suffer from anxiety, because you're basically just like telling yourself that this is not okay. You're basically rejecting yourself. You're rejecting the experience. And so one of the first things I always recommend is like, come in and take care of yourself. Like, this is not a burden. This is not a pain in the ass. Like, you might not have been shown how to take care of yourself as a child. So this is you as an adult learning to take care of yourself. And we do have emotions and we do have to manage them. So the first thing when you're feeling anxious, like be like, oh, this is time to take care of me. Like, I'm coming in to take care of me. And I always imagine the little 5-year-old within us, because you know, inner child work is so important. This is where all of our beliefs fucking come from. If we don't deal with that, you're not going to get to the root of the problem. You're not going to feel the relief that you desire. So the first thing is always like, okay, I'm going to come in and take care of myself. This is me taking care of myself. I know it feels weird. I know it feels foreign, but like, this is the best thing that I can do if I want to feel better. So, okay, coming in to take care of myself. And really what you want to do is when you're anxious, you're in a very low vibration. It's like 100. One of my books that I'm reading right now is called Levels of Energy by Frederick Dotson is his name, I think. And the way that he describes energy in the human body is like fear is like 100. It's a pretty low vibration. Humans are not meant to spend time in that low vibration for very long. It's your fight or flight. It's your worrying. And so when you're in that low vibration, everything is tainted by fear. Nothing is good. Like, and so really, you want to try to get yourself as lovingly as you can out of that vibration and more into like 200, like neutrality. 500 is like unconditional love. So you don't want to go from like A to B. That would be very toxic for your body. It's like stopping a train and going the other way. It's just too much right away. So what you want to do is just give yourself permission to take a couple of deep breaths. Like, ooh, I'm in this low vibration. I'm going to lean on my tools in a couple of seconds here. But like, before I do that, let me just slow the momentum of this train. Let me just take a couple seconds to like take a couple deep breaths. And breath work was not part of my healing whatsoever. I actually didn't like it in the beginning, but I did a somatic healing course and they did incorporate breath work. And I was like, oh bitch, now I get it. It wasn't explained to me right. Or the way that I would understand it. And so what you want to do is you want to take like a deep breath in for like 3 seconds and then breathe out for 6. Do that like 3 or 4 times. And scientifically, they can see that when you do that, it actually releases like the not stress part of your brain. I don't know how to say it scientifically because I'm not licensed or clinical or any of that shit. I'm just a girl who loves talking about this stuff, but it like scientifically de-stresses you and lets your body, here's the big thing, it lets your body know that you're safe. A lot of the times when we spend time in anxiety and fear, if you actually monitored your breathing, it would be quite shallow. And so once you start taking in those deep breaths and like oxygenating your blood again, your body goes, oh, we're not in danger. We're getting sufficient air. Okay. So what that's going to do is just let your body know, like, you're not in fight or flight. Like, you're safe. You're absolutely safe to feel this feeling. And then that's when I would kind of go into like, okay, so like, why is this coming up for me right now? What lesson? Why? And then bang, you go into your tools and then you start helping yourself understand what's going on. Because a lot of the times when we don't understand, we were never taught and it's confusing. Like the fact that they don't teach us shit in school is wild to me. Like I gotta make like children's books. I gotta be like in like schools. I have a lot of work to do and I'm so excited.
Yeah. But I think that's like such a huge thing now. We need to talk about it.
You should make a children's book. I'm so here for that.
Already on it. I gotta find like an illustrator and shit. Like I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just gonna go do it.
Dude, I'm good with Canva.
Yeah, I know. I'll help you. I know. They'll just be ebooks at first, you know? Yeah.
Dude, that would be so amazing. Cause I'm in school right now to be an education assistant for like kindergartens and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, all the way up to grade 12. And I have never seen an anxiety or like a mental health children's book. Wow. So I love that.
Bella just had to say something.
It's approved. It needs to happen. I just took that as an unconditional yes, it's happening. I'm so excited. Yes.
She's like, amen.
Yes. And also what I love about that idea is like when parents are reading to their kids, they too are learning. Like, it's not just for the kid. The parent's going to go, oh, shit, I do that. Oh, my God. Because, again, your unconscious is programmed between, you know, by the time you're 7. Most of our beliefs are formed between the ages of 6 and 10. So all of us are walking around like we're adults, but really we're thinking like kids. We're reacting like children, especially lately on social media. Oh, my God. And so I love that so much that not only would the kid benefit, but the parent's going to go, oh, okay, cool. We're going to do this. Like it benefits everybody.
Yeah. That's like a perfect example of our podcast. Like I have done a lot of work on myself with self-awareness and everything. I have been like super passionate about self-work, self-awareness, everything. Like I've really worked on myself in the last 3 or 4 years. And Sarah had mentioned in our last couple podcasts, because she originally like wasn't as on board with this as I was, because I've always wanted to be like, I want to help people with this stuff. I want to teach people how to be self-aware, you know, boom, 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 like how I did, right? Because I feel like the way I went through it was not as easy as how some people can go through it. You know what I mean? So then when I brought up the idea of making a podcast with Sarah, she's like, yeah, let's do it. It took a while because like we had to do that growing, and she had to like have growth within herself, which was a part of like anxiety, like you'd say, right?
A lot of
like
fear,
about
right?
fearing about what others thought. And then one day her and I were just like, we're just gonna do it, like let's do it. But she mentioned in some of our podcasts where she's like, I love doing this because I'm also learning when I'm telling these people, because we do the research and I tell stories and my experiences and she does as well. But she's like, I'm really learning. Like the more you say what you know out loud, the more you actually start to understand it more yourself, which is so amazing.
It's so powerful.
And like, I feel like with you being an anxiety coach, or I don't know what you actually like label yourself as, but that's kind of what, yeah. Okay. Yeah. is like, you see all different types of perspectives of anxiety. And I feel like that's really tough with people nowadays, because when you're anxious about something, say for instance, I'm using Sarah as an example for a lot of these, like she has like, anxiety with like food sometimes. And lots of people can look at that, be like, being like, why do you get anxious about that? And instead with someone like me, who I've suffered through like plenty of different types of random anxious moments, I can be like, okay, like I understand, like when you feel anxious, it doesn't matter what other people think, and it doesn't matter if like they think it's crazy for you to feel anxious about it. Mm-hmm. Either way, you still feel anxious, like, you know. And lots of people don't see it, lots of people don't see it from your perspective, because yeah. they don't understand. And it's good to just have empathy.
It's no different than using the analogy being like, oh wow, it's really cold outside, and then someone else going, well no it's not, I'm not cold.
Yeah.
And so we see this with children. You know, if a child cries in front of a whole bunch of adults, they're like, oh, don't cry. And it's like, no, that's you not being able to deal with an uncomfortable moment within yourself. Let the child cry. Like, it's incredible. Once you start doing this work, you recognize it so frequently in public. You're like, that child's going to grow up with that. Okay, see you in 20 years. Like, or like the adults project this uncomfortable feeling, and the kid is so like in tune with frequency and energy, because they don't have the cognitive parts yet, they can feel in their body that the adults around them don't think that that's okay, and so like they stop crying. And that is so bad for the human body. You release a lot of cortisol and stress when you cry. But yeah, beyond that, it makes it like shameful that you're expressing your emotions. I'm like, that's a different podcast, but damn.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. That's a whole different podcast. But I was going to add to that, like, I hate crying. Like, I hated crying. I was always like, I don't cry. I don't ever cry. Like, I'm not an emotional person. And I still, to this day, I'm not really an emotional person either, because I'm more of an angry side of things. And to compare again, Sarah is very like in touch with her emotions. She like cries when she's passionate. She cries when she's happy, sad, everything. And I'm like, I don't cry at all. Like, cause like, I just never did it. But then having that one good stress cry, or that cry just to release it out, is so like beneficial to you. So if anyone's listening to this right now, and just like have a cry, just get it out. And then you'll sleep really good tonight, and you'll wake up tomorrow feeling like so much better. Yeah. Your eyes and your skin will probably be glowy too, cause you cried.
Your eyes might be a little puffy, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm a Cancer, so I cry at every, I am like the most emotional person. I'm a 4-6 manifestor, which means I literally am ruled by my emotions, and I have like 5 houses in the fucking moon. And like, it's my husband will say to me, he's like, I've never dated someone like you before. And I'm like, well, I am special.
You are the most chatty Cancer I've ever met in my life.
I love this. Like, I'll talk about this.
Yeah, that's, well, it's because you're passionate about it, right? Totally. Like, that's awesome. Yeah. Do you know what your rising sign is?
I want to say Leo, probably why I'm chatty.
That would make sense. Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I think, don't quote me, I think.
That's okay. A lot of people don't know what time they're born, and then when I ask them, their parents are like, stop talking to her.
Oh, I do. 11:53 at night.
Oh. Yep. At night. I'm going to check that. Yeah. And I'll get back to you.
Yes. I love that shit.
Yeah. Me too. I love astrology. It's so fun. It's kind of like me kind of just doing psychology on other people without kind of digging that deep. I'm like, oh, you're a Cancer. Oh, you probably cry a lot, and you're very wholesome, and you're like, you know,
too,
like,
empathetic. Oh, Jesus.
Too empathetic. Yeah. I love it.
My lash girl calls me, like, when she does my lashes, she's like, okay, here's the crier. Like, I've cried half my lashes off every month. Like,
yeah. But it's good, though, like, to an extent. Obviously, I don't know if those are all good cries, but like, it is good to cry. Like you said, it releases that stress.
The cortisol. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so, and it's how the feminine, like, she, it's one of the ways that she expresses herself. And so I love knowing that you're super into astrology. That's extremely feminine. Like, so feminine. It's so good.
Yeah. Well, I know that because every man's like, I don't know what that means. And I'm like, oh, you're probably a Capricorn. I'm just joking.
Yeah. Or like a Libra. So fucking balanced and like, show me a spreadsheet.
That's me.
I'm a Libra.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, I think those are all the questions. I just want to thank you so much for being here. This was so fun and like so easygoing. Like, you're so welcoming, and it was just such an easy podcast to go through, especially you just being our second guest. Like, it was so awesome.
Yes.
Sweet. I'm so jazzed. Anytime, guys.
I'm so jazzed. Oh, that's awesome. It was so nice to meet you.
It was so nice meeting you too. Don't be strangers either. Like, hit me up in the DMs.
Yeah. Well, I think we're at the end.
Well, that's, I think this is the end.
I think we are done.
Wow, what an insane podcast. We're so grateful to have such an amazing guest and continue to hopefully have amazing guests on our show. We hope you all enjoyed it. Don't forget to like, subscribe, donate.
donate to our funds
of
baking.
Please send us PayPal money for our baking addiction and Caitlin's student loan.
There we go. Perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, we hope you all have a wonderful Wednesday afternoon or whenever you're listening to this. Thank you so much for your continued support, and we will see you in the next episode. Peace, love, lip gloss.
Warm regards, Sarah and Caitlin.
Warm regards, Sarah and Caitlin.
All the best.
I feel
Sarah
like
and
I'm
Caitlin.
Writing an email. Yeah. I did a bunch of emails today, so my mind is on email mode.
Sincerely, Caitlin and Sarah.
Yeah, exactly. Sincerely.
Wish you the best.
With all.
Hope this finds you well.
Warm wishes.
Toasty wishes. Baked wishes. Yes.
Baked wishes.
Cinnamon roll wishes. Getting too carried away. Anyways, peace, love, lip gloss, guys.
Peace, love, lip gloss. Bye.